Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. We're back after our snowy break. Good to be back in the studio to talk all things Charlton with you guys this evening. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me here live at the Valley to talk about looking ahead to Saturday's game with the Posh Peterborough United is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Good. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, had a good week?
It's been all right. Good couple of weeks. Yeah, Charlton haven't lost, have they?
So. Yeah, well, not on the pitch. Yeah. and joining the two of us here to discuss, as I said, everything that's happened over the last few days and is going to happen on Saturdays. Nathan Miller, how are you doing, Nath?
Living the dream.
Yeah, you look like
as per. I'm upbeat, mate. Thursday
what
today.
Are you dancing too?
I don't know, I'm dancing
just a
into
song in your head.
Just Glove Pups ad lib thing.
Yeah, we can just about hear the jingle in the background there. Yeah, that, yeah. So, excellent. Right, on tonight's show, it's a really packed show for you this evening. Obviously, we are going to react to the controversial video that was released during the week by the Sun newspaper that involved players past and present from the club. We're going to hear what Carl Robinson's reaction is to that as well. We're also going to hear Carl Robinson's we're going to talk about Carl Robinson's reaction to being linked with the Oxford job. We're going to tell you very quickly about our new show, which was on Love Sport Radio during the week, and how you can listen back to that if you want to. Now, we're going to hear from a Charlton legend this evening, Keith Peacock. I spoke to him on the phone last night. He's going to talk to us about how he sees the rest of the season going, and also an event that's coming up at the Valley next Thursday evening. We're going to hear from the women's team manager. It is International Women's Day today, and there's a couple of big weeks coming up for the women's team club. So Ritesh Mishra is joined me on the phone last night to talk about the Arsenal game, which is coming up in the next couple of weeks, and also even bigger than that, the club are applying to be part of the Championship next season. We're going to hear from that. Also, we're going to hear from Alan Swan, who writes for the Peterborough Telegraph. He's going to preview Saturday's game, tell us all about the Posh, their new manager Steve Evans, and of course Carl will preview that game for us as well. So a packed show. I mean, just before we go into the incident, obviously Saturday's game coming up, Tom, the two teams just outside the playoffs, it's a huge game.
Absolutely massive game, yeah. And with, I think, a couple of the teams above us playing each other as well, is a chance to perhaps move closer to a couple of them. Obviously, new manager bounce for Peterborough, which is...
He is very bouncy, actually, if you see him walking
extremely
along.
Extremely bouncy. Yeah, he was in a sombrero last time, I think I saw him when he was at Leeds. But, yeah, it's going to be a very tough game. I don't think Peterborough have been in the best form. And as we said on the show on Tuesday night, if you just look at our last six or seven games, actually, our form isn't too bad. We've had an extra week's break. I know that's probably not going to make too much difference to the injuries that we've had because they're slightly longer term. But... yeah, hopefully the boys are in good shape and we can go there and get a result.
Excellent. So I look forward to, we're going to preview that properly in the second half of the show. Like I say, we've got the journalist Alan Swan from the Peterborough Telegraph. We're also going to talk about what Carl Robinson said about the game. And of course, we'll give you team news, everything like that. It's a big game. We're going to look forward to it. But of course, the big news previously this week came out on Tuesday evening. Actually, just as we were getting prepared to do our Love Sports show, thinking, right, let's get our feet under the table. Nice, gentle evening. Talk about the addicts. Now, really disappointing videos come out. Now, it's released by the Sun newspaper. I've seen some people on the forum saying, oh, it's the Sun. It doesn't matter who's released. The video's there for all to see. We know what the content of the video is. You can't really use that as an excuse, I'm afraid. I mean, Carl Robinson's not happy with the content of their report about it, and we'll hear that in his comments. But the content of the video is what Charlton fans are noticing, and it's disappointing. There's some, as I said, past and present players. So past players, Morgan Fox, Ricky Holmes and Roger Johnson. Present players included Harry Lennon, Dylan Phillips and obviously Captain Chris Solly. There was some drunken antics going on in the video, and it did unfortunately in a couple of cases descend to a little bit of racism aimed in what would seem a friendly way, if there is such a way to be racist, which there probably isn't, towards Mikhail Kennedy and towards and a little bit towards Josh McGuinness as well, and Northern Irish players. Now, obviously, you'd expect, I mean, you expect footballers to go out and enjoy themselves. This was during the international break. You'd expect them to banter each other, which is the worst word, but that is the word for it. It's the way people take the mick out of each other. But it's quite clearly overstepped the line when it's gone into this racist element.
Yeah, they've overstepped the mark. And I think we said it on Tuesday's show, and I hope we were very clear that, you know, no one can condone the racist element of what happened at all. It's disgusting. It's disgusting in any form, not just in football, where unfortunately it rears its head time and time again. Again, we use the word banter. I don't like the word either, but it's a word that's used to describe that kind of jokes between friends. But yeah, they overstepped the mark. Now, obviously, they didn't expect it to be seen. That doesn't make the racist element right, and nothing makes the racist element right. But in terms of laughing and joking and having a go at each other and using swear words, you know, we all do that, in groups of friends. But as footballers, you're so much in the public eye, even down at League One level. And whether you like it or not, you can be seen as role models to young fans. And you're in a job where you have people paying to come and watch you do your job every week. You're in the public eye, and you've got to be more careful than that. It was stupid. It was naive. Clearly, they didn't think it was going to be seen by anybody else, but it has been. And from what Carl said today, it's going to be dealt with in the right manner.
Yeah, well, let's hear what Carl Robinson had to say. He was asked about the video that was released. It happened before his time at the club, but obviously because it's been released while he's here, he's the one who's going to deal with it. And this is what he has to say when asked about that video.
My view is that we've obviously put our club statement out, and we feel the behaviour of the players and the way it looks is never to be condoned. The role models at the end of the day. The disappointing thing for me, and the bit that angered me, is the fact that somebody, when they wrote the report, said an insider said it's created faction and certain groups. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. And that is unacceptable for somebody to say that somebody in here has said that, when Dylan Phillips and Josh McGuinness are roommates. They're roommates. So it's obviously somebody trying to create something internally that isn't there. But at the same time, I am not at any moment, they've been spoken to. It went into a WhatsApp group over 18 months ago. Before my time, yeah, but it falls on my shoulders. It leaked. It was leaked by somebody. And it doesn't look good. And the players are embarrassed, first and foremost, to their own families. Secondly, they feel if they've offended any fan, it's the last thing in their thought process. And they apologise deeply for that. Matter closed. I've spoken to them internally. We are getting the FA in this week. We've spoken to the FA, and we've spoken to a number of different groups about social media training, which sometimes they have when they're 17, 18. I feel it's important that we have constant development in this, about what social media is about and what about being a professional is all about, and how a good person can be perceived as an idiot through silly different things. I will not accept it. And it's something that we deal with internally. We don't hang our washing out in public. It's something that is dealt very firmly with. It's something that people say they shouldn't play for the football club again, they shouldn't do that, they shouldn't do this. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion on that. They will play for the football club again. But they'll play for the football club, and in the meantime, they are embarrassed by what they've done. And they've apologised to me, they've apologised to the people. But one thing I can honestly tell you right here and right now, and it's the end of the matter, is that what was said about that, about a club insider, was completely, couldn't be anywhere near the truth.
Are they all ambassadors for the club all the time, in your view?
Well, this is an interesting one, because I was out in a restaurant not too long ago, and there was a gang of people behind me doing silly things, drunk. But they don't have a job where they are a role model. You can say we're all role models. As fathers, as media people, as electricians, as policemen, as teachers, we're all role models. Just because you play football doesn't mean you're a different type of role model. The difference is there's young boys that wear a shirt with your name on the back. There's young people that come and support you on a weekly basis. And we have to uphold ourselves. This is really, I could imagine, I'm not on any social media. I can imagine this to really split the general public. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I can imagine some people looking at a night out, some people, that's disgusting, that shouldn't be a night out. I am telling you now, it's not something that we condone, ever. And it's a real, it's one that, but I have to deal with it in a disciplined way. And the players know, never mistake my niceness for being weak. We have ways internally of making sure they will learn from that.
So it's Carl Robinson, he's you know, promising that the players are going to learn from this. Now, I mean, he did say it's probably going to split opinion on social media, and it has. If you, I mean, if you read the forums and Twitter, like, you know, like we all, I spend most of my day doing that, to me. You know, it has split opinion in terms of. I mean, no one's sitting here saying, "Right, that racist language is acceptable." I mean, some people were picking up on, "Oh, these players shouldn't be out drinking and sending abusive messages to each other." Now, a lot of people, I'd say, probably don't really worry too much about that as before the content of the message was seen. But obviously, the content and the message. I mean, if there's something that's going to, you know, you're someone who's representing the club. Obviously, we've got plenty of Irish supporters. We've got plenty of supporters from all over the world. If a Northern Irish supporter is going to see that, they may well be offended by that. And that's why you've got to be so careful about, you know, I'll take the mick out of you, Nathan, non-stop, and I always do. But I won't make some sort of racist thing about it. I won't be like that. You know, you try and find something that if someone was walking past and heard me taking the mick out of you, they wouldn't get offended because it might offend them. And that's why you've got to be very careful about how you choose your language, particularly when it's the outside chance is going to end up on Twitter on the Sun newspaper website.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Tom said most of the stuff that, you know, I was going to say, but the way the world is now and the way footballers is. You've got social media and you know that it can come out at any stage. You know, whatever goes behind, what happens behind closed doors in terms of joking and what, that's down to them, you know. But when you're in the limelight as a footballer, you know, any sports person or an actor or whatever, you do know anything that's going to be recorded or you write, then you have got that chance of it coming out. And I just think it's a... I mean, you know, Carl's going to deal with it internally, and rightly so, because, you know, it's not acceptable. But I just think it's a bit of a kick in the teeth. We've got Red, White and Black Day coming up in, what is it, the 17th?
Yeah, we're going to cover that extensively on Charlton Live.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it's just all the work that the club's done in terms of that and throughout the years, it's just a bit of a kick in the teeth, really. But as Carl said, he's been dealt with. Every single one of us, you know, obviously on Charlton Live, don't agree with it. And you know, the players obviously were embarrassed and obviously remorseful, and rightly so.
Obviously, now I think, you know, we've all quite strongly condemned the racist element to that. Now, obviously the other element of it is the fact that it is players out getting drunk and abusing each other. Now, I think if you hadn't, you know, none of us have really seen it before, and we know it goes on. But I mean, it's probably a bit of a shock to see it. But at the same time, I mean. Footballers do that, okay? Footballers are just like you and me. They enjoy a night out, particularly if they've got a couple of weeks off. They're entitled to a night out. So I think part of the shock factor beyond the racist element is the fact that you see the players, you know, athletes or so drinking, but they're more than entitled to do that.
Yeah, of course they are. And again, we talked about it on Tuesday, the video that came out after the Portsmouth game when they're on their way to the Christmas party. Are they entitled to have a Christmas party? Yes. Do you want them to have fun? Yes. Are they going to have a drink? Probably. Should they be posting a video the day after we've lost in our big anniversary game? Probably not. It's the same with this. Should they all be out on a night out together? Then why not? It shows the bond within the squad. As I say, if it was taken in good spirits, like Carl suggested, then that shows a bond between the players, and it shows that they're all connected. The thing is that it is an unusual thing to see. Like you say, it's like when you're little and you see your teacher in the supermarket. You know, you're like, yeah. I'm used to seeing you at the front of a classroom. We're used to seeing these players dressed in a red shirt and white shorts on a football pitch. So when you see them in any other scenario, it is a bit unusual, particularly for younger fans and kids growing up and idolising those people. So... It is. It's one of those things. As Nath said, I'm sure they wish it hadn't happened and hadn't got out, but it has. I think the club have handled it well. The statement came out very quickly, and Carl reacted well with it today. And maybe they do just need a bit of educating. I mean, Sue, who's not on the show so much now, but when she always used to say, "You've got to treat them like kids." And maybe there is a bit of naivety there. Maybe there is a bit of education that needs to be added. Things like the racist element. You know, I'm not washing my hands of it here, but he's no longer at the club. You know, why is that? I don't know. But, you know, he's not here now. You would hope that in some way that's he's still spoken to. Who takes responsibility for that? I don't know. But you would like to think that if that was an attitude that was, you know, actually with anyone within the club, then that would be dealt with. So
Yeah, and I think, you know, the club have come out and you know, issued a, you know, a statement that, that says they obviously are not happy with the video, and the players will be given some sort of education. Now, finally, I guess what we don't know about is, but what we didn't know is about the interpersonal relationship between the players involved and, say, Mikhail Kennedy. I don't know Mikhail Kennedy. I've never spoke to him, as far as I know. So some people would have been a bit shocked and looked at that, and maybe at the back of the mind think, oh God, I hope he's not, you know, he's a young kid, he's not really getting in the team. I hope he's not being bullied. But, you know, the club have come out and said that they've spoken to him and he seems happy enough. So we'll take that as in. We hope that is the case. And I'm sure that is the case because, like I say, you've got to be pretty thick-skinned to be a footballer, I think is fair to say. Now, you know, we've all been on the terraces and seen someone put a, you know, a shot out for a goal kick when it should have been on target and said, oh, you're rubbish, and you get a lot of that. So I think after a while you do develop a thick skin.
Oh, yeah, no, you do. And, you know, Carl said, you know, they deals in McGuinness room together. I think Mikhail was flat-sharing with someone else. I don't know if the person still was. I can't remember who it was. But, yeah, I mean, so obviously, like Tom said, you've got the bond there and... That's right, when you've got your internal, like, I hate to use the word banter, but, you know, when you've got it internally, yeah, it's what happens in football. I mean, even to an, maybe, I know it's not professional, but even on Sunday league teams, we've all probably been there and we all dish out sort of derogatory remarks to one another if, yeah, someone shanks a shot or something. But there's obviously times for it, and I just think, I mean, hopefully they sort of learn now and just say, well, When you are out, is obviously you just put those phones away and just don't put yourself in a situation. Because, yeah, it was 18 months ago, but you've always got that risk of coming out, which it has. So, but you've got to learn to do it because you don't see it. You know, you see all the other clubs like Man United to this world and that. They're in the same position, but they probably are maybe a bit more clued up on... That's not to obviously patronise the players at all, obviously, but it's maybe just need to obviously watch what we're doing a little bit more.
Excellent, right. I think we've covered that unfortunate video. Now, last night, a lot of people's attention was grabbed on Twitter because a couple of betting sites were desperately trying to claw some money in by saying, oh, look, Carl Robinson's odds on now, or evens, to become the Oxford United manager. Now, Carl's denied that. It sounds like there's nothing in it. So, yeah, not too much more to add on that, really. But, I mean, it just shows, I guess, sometimes you can't always trust the bookies who want you to bet money when they say, oh, look, bet money on this.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't tell you that if they think it's going
to
happen.
It doesn't take much betting one way or the other to swing those odds, and suddenly there are enough Twitter profiles now that someone will jump on it. We talked a lot on Tuesday's show about, you know, if Carl was to go, who would come in, and there were times during that conversation where I kind of wanted to stop Aaron and say, Carl's still in charge at the moment. And same with this, you know, it's easy to make a link because it's another club in the division and they're looking for a manager. There was someone he got linked with earlier on in his time at Charlton, and there was talk of it as well.
Barnsley, so, not even that long ago.
That was it, yeah. So it was the division above. But these things happen, and of course he's a manager who, on the whole, whether you like him or not, has done, when we compare to where we were this time last season, has done well for the club. Maybe not as well as some people would like, but you have to admit that what he's done so far has been okay. People are going to look at him. They might even, for all we know, Oxford might even have approached him or tried to get some interest, but that doesn't mean he's going. With the takeover on the horizon, it's an easy connection to make because he might be thinking, am I going to go, am I not? So it's all up in the air, but you know, I'm not concerned. Would I like him to stay? Yes. Do I think he's going to for the moment? Yes. But we'll just have to wait and see. But I don't think there's much in it.
Yeah, right, I forgot to point out, actually, Freddie tweeted in earlier reacting to Carl Robinson's reaction to the controversial video and said that he was happy with what Carl said, and he said that and Fred did say that everyone knew what his stand was. If anyone saw Freddie's tweet, he was very upset about the video, so I mean, he's happy that it's been dealt with now, which is good to see, Freddie. Finally, you mentioned it there, Tom, we did do our Love Sports show. Nathan, you're going to be doing it on Monday as Monday. Well, yeah, so I mean, did you listen in, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did, yeah, it sounded really good. I thought you both spoke very eloquently.
But I mean, just in terms of the show itself, and Aaron as a host gives...
I thought Aaron kept the flow going. I thought it was really good. I think you picked up the main topics. And I think it was quite a good show. It flew by, though.
Yeah, I mean, an hour, like Aaron said it himself, an hour's not really enough, really, to speak about Charlton. But if you do want to hear that, there is the chance to listen back to it. Now, the idea is that the show on Love Sport Radio is going to be on Monday evenings mostly. It was on Tuesday this evening because we had to swap with QPR because they were playing on Tuesday. But it's also a phone-in show, so if you keep an eye on our Twitter during the shows, we will tweet out the phone number because we've got lots of people tweeting it, but we'd love it if you phone in as well because, you know, people hear our voices talking about Charlton too much, if anything. So this is a chance for you to get your voice on air. So if you want to do the Love Sports show, you can phone us on the evening. So keep an eye out for the telephone number. If you listen to the show on Monday evening, you'll be able to join in as well. And we'd really love you because I think we have a Charlton chat show like this. We don't have a Charlton phoning show. We don't have a phone here. So we'd really enjoy it if you could join in like that. Right, we're going to have a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to hear from Mr. Charlton Athletic.
Of the Oxford defence, and Foster would try and close it down, and Mussinho gets himself in a bit of trouble. It comes to McGuinness on the edge of the penalty. A good challenge from Mussinho. Cashy gets there first. Cashy in the penalty area. Cashy!
Oh, yes!
Emma Cashy,
what a finish!
His first goal of the season. Beats Eastwood. Diving to his right side. Cashy's running around the valley. Absolutely delighted for him.
McGuinness has stayed down though from the challenge.
And Charlton take the lead here at the valley.
So you're listening to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. This is the big match preview. Going to look ahead to Saturday's game with Peterborough in great detail in a few moments' time. But first of all, next Thursday here at the Valley is a Down Memory Lane event, an event where numerous Charlton legends are going to be here at the Valley to have a Q&A. For your £15 ticket, you get a drink with that as well. You get a chance to have your photo taken with Charlton legends. There's all stuff like that. And you're going to hear now from Mr. Charlton himself, Keith Peacock. An absolute stalwart of the club. I spoke to him on the phone last night to find out about this event, and also because, you know, he's Mr. Charlton, to find out what he thinks about how the season's going. This is Keith Peacock talking to myself last night. Joining us now on Charlton Live is Mr. Charlton himself, Keith Peacock. Good evening, Keith. How are you doing?
Good evening. Very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, of course, on Thursday week, or Thursday coming up, next Thursday, the 15th of March, the latest in the Community Trust 25th anniversary celebrations at the Valley. It's going to be an evening where you go down memory lane. Why don't you tell the supporters what they can expect next Thursday?
Well, I think it's going to be a very interesting evening. It is going down memory lane, and it's an evening with Roger Olwyn. We have Stevie Gripp, Lenny Lawrence, and Chris Powell as the main people on the front of it all, and we're going to go through what about three decades almost of what happened to Charlton Athletic, and there are four of them that have really been vital to what happened in those 25 to 30 years. Mm. And also, we will be having a number of other Charlton celebrities from the past and present. There'll be Chris Ollie from present, and one or two other players coming along. We'll have Colin Walsh, we'll have Carl Leeburn, Kevin Lisby, John Fortune, I can go on, Bob Boulder should be there, Simon Webster should be there also, Paul Mortimer will be there. It's going to be quite an incredible evening. Mm. Obviously we've keeping it to be a more of an intimate evening, so we've put a lid on the number of tickets we can sell. That still some available now, it should be very interesting indeed.
Mm. And as you say, the four that are going to be at the front in Lenny Lawrence, Chris Powell, Steve Gritt and Roger Olwyn, obviously got three former managers there, a couple of former players, and then of course the chairman Roger Olwyn as well, who was so important in that quest to get the club back to the Valley 25 years ago.
Absolutely. And I don't know the last time, but Roger probably spoke to the Charlton supporters. It would be probably a long time ago, and he was so very important. Of course, he was a man that pushed the gates open and led us back onto the pitch again, through the gates, on that memorable occasion of the return to the Valley. So there would be a lot of stuff that he can tell us from the inside what was going on that day. And of course, it's a great chance, I think, for fans maybe the only chance to give a thank you almost, or listen to these men, what they've got to say. Lenny Lawrence, and why it's important, and I thought it would be great to have Lenny there. He was there during the 80s, all the problems of the 80s, leaving the valley, all the trauma of getting back to the valley that was going on from the supporters, and there was Lenny trying to keep the ship steady, trying to keep the whole thing going. Although when we returned, of course, he had just left for military. So, you know, so many stories to come from Lenny. Gritty speaks for himself, really, doesn't he? He's done everything. You know, as a player during the times, before, going back to the 70s, long into the 80s as well, and Gritty, of course, played in the game and the return to the bat against Portsmouth. And as joint manager with Adam Kirbyshe. Couldn't get Adam Kirbyshe because he is the son of the country at this particular time coming up. And last of all, to say that on the forum, someone who will be forever popular, hero, Chrissy Powell, who came back later obviously, into the Premiership in all those great years, and managed the team so successfully.
And of course, this is just another event as part of the 25th anniversary. It's been a really special year at the club with the amount of different things that have gone on. And this one, of course, the ticket money, the proceeds are going to be split between the Community Trust and Prostate Cancer UK. Obviously, this is another way that the club are sort of giving back to the local community and to charity as well. It's something that Charlton seem to do so well.
Yes, and I think too, you know, both obviously every charity is a worthy cause, and these are two very worthy causes. So it's great to help put some finances towards prostate cancer, so very, very important, which we're all behind. And the 25th anniversary, the committee came together and trying to raise a great sum of money by what is now the May will be the end of the year, and hopefully we've had a successful year. So far it's been very successful. Now we're just coming to the last couple of events.
It's fitting, of course, that the Community Trust have won the one of the EFL Football Community Club of the Year awards as well in this 25th anniversary. Also, I guess, just talking about stuff on the pitch, it would be fitting if Charlton could find their way to get promoted. We're still very much within that playoff race. I mean, how do you see things going for the rest of this season?
Well, I think the big thing is just getting into the playoffs. Yeah, my own personal belief, I always try and look optimistically anyway, but I mean, even last weekend when we didn't play, our position seemed to strengthen because Scunthorpe lost. You know, suddenly we've got more games in hand of other people. I am convinced that as long as we get into the playoffs and hitting the right sort of form then, and perhaps getting one or two people who have been injured fully fit, that we will be a very difficult team to beat, because we do play with, sometimes it's, you could say, gay abandon, but that's a kind of confidence going into play against the opposition. I don't think we play with any fear and really trying to play tight tactics. I think we'd go for them, and hopefully we'll be in that good form in this coming, particularly the last half a dozen games or so. And maybe be a repeat 20 years ago, you know, 98. We came with a run of form to get into the playoffs, undefeated, I think, in the last 8-10 games. You would know better than me, but it must be something like that. And yeah, we got to the final again. Was it 8 games?
Yeah, I think so, off the top of my head, yeah.
Yeah, it was a tremendous run of form, and not conceding many goals at that time. And we went in with that confidence, and probably Sunderland on paper was so much stronger and had been at the top all the year, but we were the team in form, and I'm hoping that it'll be a similar situation.
Yeah. I guess if we get to the final this year, we want a bit more of a calmer experience than 20 years ago.
What do you mean, the final?
Yeah.
If we get Yeah, we don't run away with ourselves here, but yeah, as long as we get there, I don't care how nerve-wracking it is. That was quite a traumatic day, I must admit. Everyone was drained after that one.
Yeah.
But let's hope it's the same again.
Yeah.
Bart Williams. It's Powell again. Svensson is in the middle, so is Stewart. Here is Svensson. And Jason Yule! Oh, it's a cracking goal from Yule. It was a long time coming. But it was so well taken. Really sat up invitingly for him. Johnson and Hasselbeck in the middle. There's Lesseau. There's a little flick from Ronquillard. Good Johnson, Hasselbeck. Left up! 1-1. They have cut back strongly. They might have got two down, Chelsea. They survived on that occasion. And now they have an equaliser through Frank Lampard. And the measure there of Jason Yule. Oh, Yule's suddenly free. Jason Yule with a great chance, and it's two. No offside. Chelsea appealing in vain towards the referee's assistant. No response. Graham Paul says the goal stands. It's two for Jason Yule, it's two for Charlton. And suddenly Chelsea are in trouble again. Defending a really high line, Gallas was caught out. And such a cool finish by Yule. With only a couple of minutes to go.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Wish we were there. Took us back to 2002 when Jason Yule's double helped us see off Chelsea. Back when we used to beat Chelsea with quite comfortably, pretty much every time we played them, which was the good old days. Now it's a huge couple of weeks coming up for the Charlton Athletics women's team. Now on the, I think it's March the 18th, they're heading over to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup away at Arsenal. We play in Boreham Wood, and I'm going to be there, and I hope as many of you as possible fancy it will come along to cheer on the ladies as well. And a huge game for the club, the only team outside of the top two divisions in women's football would still be remaining in the FA Cup, and they're playing one of the biggest teams in the competition left now. But also the club are applying to be given championship status after there is a restructure of women's football, which is coming up at the end of this season. Now, the bid has to go in by Friday, so tomorrow, so the club are finalising that and submitting it this week. So I asked the Charlton Athletic women's team manager, Ritesh Mishra, to explain what the bid would mean for the club if it were successful.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We are, as a club, working towards deadline this Friday to put a bid in for the championship. What it means that we would... Well, hopefully, if our bid's successful, be competing at the second tier of women's football, and that is going to be classed effectively as a semi-professional league, it means that actually it won't change too much in terms of contact time, how much we train, how much we play, but it means we'll be competing against, you know, some of the best teams across the country, and it gives us a platform to try and then reach our aspirations, which is tier one, which is going to be a full-time professional league, and you know, we're really looking forward to that, excited about the opportunity, but you know, we've got a little bit of work to do beforehand.
And what is it that makes Charlton a good candidate to have a successful bid?
Yeah, good question. If you look at the women's game, we've got a really big reputation, probably similar to our men's team, that, you know, we've got a big fan base, good history. We've been through a few difficult years, and we feel now that we're in a strong place to kind of, we've got foundations set in place to try and get back to you know, higher ground than we are at the moment. I think what we have in terms of staff, I would say, is the best at this level. Of course, I'll be a little bit biased, but I think we've got great staff. We've got the use of our full men's training ground and full facilities, which not many other women's teams have access to. We have access to a lot of the background support staff from the men's team. We've got a great integration with the men's club. We do a lot of work with the kind of the trust behind the scenes. But ultimately, we've got, I think, a group of players who are ready to make the step. So I feel like we're in a good place, but we have to kind of prove that with our bid.
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of that, I mean, how does that process work? What sort of things do you have to put into the bid to make sure that it is successful?
Yeah, it's quite a lengthy process. The FA give you kind of set criteria, and it's everything from proving that you have the required facilities, the required financial investments, the required kind of marketing and commercial plans, everything else through to kind of, you know, club policies, the right structure in place to help support female footballers and a development pathway for female footballers. So there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, and you know, our club secretary Sue Pryor has been working kind of day in, day night to make sure we've got a really strong bid, and our media team at the men's department have really helped, which I'm sure everybody will see, the marketing class will come out soon. So a lot of work, Louis, that goes in behind the scenes, a lot of it is around, you know, just proving that us as a club meet the required criteria from the FA. But I say it's going to be a challenge because it's open to anyone to apply to. So there's going to be a lot of clubs in and around us. There's one in our catchment area, probably putting together a strong bid.
And when are you likely to find out whether it's been successful? And do you think you've got a good chance?
I think having seen our bid and the support both on and off the pitch that the men's club are giving us, I feel like we've got a good chance. I can't comment on how strong that will be in comparison to others. You just have to hope that we've put enough time and effort and resource into ours, which I'm confident we have done. We find out at the end of the season, which will be after the league's playoff match, I believe, towards the end of May. So there's quite a long waiting period. Bearing in mind, deadlines are this Friday. And that will then kind of see it, the full tier system next year, tier 1, tier 2, and then tier 3.
And obviously, with Charlton challenging very much at the top of their league at the moment, I mean, if they were to finish top of the league, does that affect the bid at all?
Well, there's two ways you can get into tier 2. There's through the bid, and then there's through outright merit, and we're trying to kind of give ourselves both opportunities. If we win the league, you then go through to a playoff game against the Northern Division counterparts who win their league, and the winners of that playoff tie then get promoted to Tier 2. So we are, fortunately at the moment, we're in a position to go down both routes. That could change. I would love us to do it through merit, through winning the league and then winning a playoff. We're a long way away from that, but you know, we have got both options at the moment, purely because our players have given us a great chance in the first 6 months of the season to put us in a place where we can win the league.
And another great achievement by your players, of course, is the fact that they're the only side currently outside of the top two tiers in women's football. We've made it as far as the FA Cup quarter-final, and they've been handed a pretty plum tie away at Arsenal as well. Repeat the final from back in the day.
Exactly, yeah. Repeat the final back in the day. I think it's massively different dynamics. We're, like I say, part-time Arsenal full-time athletes. It's going to be a huge challenge. But wow, we're looking forward to it. All the players are excited. We've got a league game this Sunday, so we're trying not to focus too much on it inside the club, but we know it's around the corner. I would just love to say, it'd be great to get Charlton fans down there. It's away at Arsenal, they play at Boreham Wood, and for us to be able to compete against them, it's going to be, some of the best players in the world are going to be on that pitch, so it's going to be an eye-opener. Be a huge test. Anything can happen in the FA Cup, but I think we're treating it more as an opportunity to just do the club proud, really.
Yeah, so that's Sunday the 18th of March over at Boreham Wood, and I'm certainly going to be there. I'm looking forward to it. But you mentioned there, we've mentioned the league table. You've still got games in hand on Palace now. You've gone top, you're in third. You've got three games in hand, and they're only 2 points ahead of you. So, a chance to get back on the trail now with this game on Sunday as well.
Yeah, we've had a very good run in the cup competitions, but to the detriment of that, a lot of our league fixtures have been pushed back, so we've been out of league action for a while. This weekend, massive opportunity for us, big test. We've got Cardiff at home, and the other kind of top four or five teams are playing each other. So we have an opportunity to take advantage, but ultimately everything's in our control at the moment. I want us to try and keep it that way. We've got to take it game by game.
Throw from Holmes into Solly. Solly cross ball. Foster's on the far side. Gets something on it.
Yes!
Finished off by Foster Caskey. And Charlton have the lead.
Welcome back, this is Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. The big match preview is time now to start looking ahead to Saturday's game with the Posh. But just very quickly, it'd be so great for Charlton as a club if the women's team can get that step up to the Championship. And we've seen them play. We've seen the setup they have. No one deserves it more, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. I know, obviously, we saw them in the game at the Valley here and they struggled a little bit in that game. But aside from that, they've just been phenomenal. And it wasn't that long ago that they were one of the biggest clubs in women's football. So, yeah, I think they deserve to be back there, and Ritesh is doing a brilliant job, and so are the players, and yeah, they deserve every success they get this season.
Excellent stuff. Right, as I said, huge game up at London Road on Saturday against Peterborough United. Now, our new feature that we started doing over the last few weeks is I've been getting in contact with journalists who cover the opposition to find out a little bit more about them. And obviously, it's a big weekend for Peterborough United. They're just 1 point behind us in the race for the playoffs, but they've also got the first game under their new manager, Steve Evans. So I spoke to Alan Swan, who writes for the Peterborough Telegraph, to find out what he knows about the new manager and how the Posh have been getting on this season. Right, joining us now on Charlton Live is Alan Swan from the Peterborough Telegraph. He follows Posh up and down the country. Good evening, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Right, so
thanks
obviously,
for asking me on.
Yes, all right. Thanks for coming on. And obviously, ahead of Saturday's game now, it's the start of a new era, I guess, for Posh. The first game of new manager Steve Evans, who's coming, of course, to replace Grant McCann, who was sacked after, a little bit of a disappointing run of results.
Yes, you could say that. I think the chairman's still keen on getting promoted this year. That was the aim at the start of the season, which Grant McCann bought into. You'd look at the league table and you'd think that Grant's sacking was quite harsh because we were 6 points off the top six with two games in hand on the team in sixth. But I think if you'd watched our performances, certainly since Christmas, you'd see it. You wouldn't put any money on us at all in going in reaching the playoffs by the end of the season. So the chairman's did what's necessary, and he's gone for quite a character, hasn't he?
Yes, Charlton fans or any football fan really will know what Steve Evans is like on the touchline. Have you had a chance to get to know him yet and to deal with him much yet?
I wrote a very, to be honest, and rather surprisingly, the sort of reaction, he won a poll on our newspaper before he was appointed as the man that the Posh fans would most like to see take charge. We included people like Mark Warburton in that poll as well. And the reaction since his appointment, I'd say is a good 4-1 in favour of it. Obviously he's quite well known in Peterborough because he's lived locally here for 25, 30 years since he came down from Scotland. So I think a lot of people know him, a lot of local football people actually like him, and they're all very happy that he's got the job, which surprised me somewhat because, as you say, his antics on the touchline can be a little bit disturbing. I've seen it when he's been in the Boston dugout and the Rotherham dugout, and I think if there is one thing I'd like to see him change, it is that. because it doesn't endear himself to anybody, and it can be rather embarrassing. But having said that, I like him as a character. I think he's quite good fun. I think he comes over as quite honest and quite refreshing. He says things as it is. You know, and I wrote a column this week, very, very supportive of him. You know, and I hope he can, obviously winning games will be the key, but, you know, I certainly think he's given the club a lift.
Yeah. And I guess the fact that he does have a history of getting promoted out of League One via the playoffs as well may have made him more attractive to the club.
Yes, he's well. As he's already told me twice in the week he's been here, that he's only made the playoffs in League One once with Rotherham, and he won them. he's also, one of the first things he said, the first interview I did with him, he said, if we make these playoffs, we will win them, he goes. Hard part will be getting there. Because I think if we did get there, we would be going in there with momentum, so I see where he's coming from. But he hasn't got an easy task. We've got 5 home games, 7 away games, and the away games in particular are very, very tough on paper. But you never know. He's a confident lad, and hopefully some of that confidence and enthusiasm will rub off on the players.
Yeah, and I guess he'll be hoping for an immediate turnaround in form after, I think it's one win in the last, you know, 8 or 9 games now. Obviously, that was last time out against Walsall, but he does need to turn around the form that was pretty disappointing.
Yes. Yes, he does. I mean, we've won twice in 2018 in League One, and incredibly, if we beat you on Saturday, then we could easily be 6th, because, you know, obviously we'll go above you, and if Plymouth don't win at Fleetwood, we'll find ourselves in the top 6, which is remarkable considering how very average we've been. I mean, he watched us in our last game against Walsall, that farcical game in the snow, which we won 2-1. We did okay, but we, you know, Walsall were very lucky not to get a point from that game, so he will see now. I mean, Steve himself said it wasn't a very, very good performance, but, you know, I think, you know, that we'll be looking for that new manager bounce. Now, I've got a feeling we might get it. I mean, I'm quite pleased we didn't play at Shrewsbury on Saturday, which makes his first game a home game, a big game against Charlton. I presume you'll bring a lot down. I think our crowd will come in numbers as well. I think it could be a cracking occasion, to be honest.
And it's been an interesting time off the field for the Posh as well, because you've had that new investment that's come in. Was it Stuart Thompson and Jason Neal buying 50% of the shares from Darren McAntony? Sorry. Interesting time off the field as well. I mean, do they have plans for the clubs?
Yeah, I mean, that was a real shock when that broke on Friday, because Darren, you know, has been fantastic. It's 11 years he's been here. You know, we've had some great times under him. You know, he's passionate, he's enthusiastic. He doesn't always make great decisions, particularly with his choices of manager. But, you know, I wouldn't swap him for anybody else in the Football League, to be honest. But he's always said we'll never do partners. And all of a sudden, we've now got 2 Canadians as partners. I mean, first impression's great. I mean, they've came straight on the phone. They've done interviews. They're not trying to hide anything. They're not making ridiculous promises. I mean, I think with financial fair play as it is at the moment, they can't just chuck a load of money at it, but I don't think they would anyway. I think what they specialise in is growing businesses, and they see Peterborough as a club that can actually grow. So, yeah, exciting times. I think they've been very well received. You know, they've said the right things. They're not. I think they've been very sensible in not sort of saying, you know, we're going to throw money at it, we're going to get you in the Championship straight away. That is the aim, but they're prepared to sort of a 3 to 5 year plan, I think, is how they've announced it. So, yeah, exciting times on and off the field.
Excellent. So back on to the field of play. Obviously, this Saturday's game coming up. Who are the players that Charlton fans should be keeping their eye out for in the Peterborough team?
Well, most obviously, we've got a 25-goal striker in Jack Marriott, you know, signed from Luton Town, substitutes bench in the summer for about $400,000, which... everyone was thinking, blimey, what have we done here? But my word, he's been good. So he's the main man. I mean, I think Jack would be the first to tell you that if we didn't have Marcus Madison in our side, he wouldn't have 25 goals, because Marcus is the man who creates most of them. They're the two main men. They're the two men who will need looking after most, I think, by your guys. But, you know, he's got a lot of flair players. I wouldn't necessarily think they're players that Steve Evans would have signed himself. But, you know, if he can give them that, you know, stronger attitude and a bit more discipline, and they can see games out better. As I think Steve actually watched the game at Charlton in November when we delivered one of our best performances of the season, to be honest. I mean, to be 2-0 up heading into injury time and not win was a real body blow. But, you know, I think you've seen that you know, there's some talent in this side. They just need a bit more off the field in terms of game management and stuff like that, really, which we're hopeful Evans will provide. But Maddison and Marriott are the two main men in this team by some distance, mate.
Yeah, I guess there might even be a little bit of revenge at the back of the mind of the Peterborough players after what Charlton stole from Peterborough earlier on in the season.
Well, possibly. I mean, that'll be in the back of the minds, but I mean, you know, they should also take comfort in the fact they played very well that night. So, did you attend it yourself, mate?
Yeah, sorry. I remember, I had to completely rewrite my match report.
Yeah, all right. I mean, it's as well as we've played for 89 minutes this season, I think. You know, we might have had a penalty at 2-0 ourselves, mightn't we? But, you know, not to win that game was typical of us. I think we've lost 21 points now from leading winning positions this season, and also let in a large, I think the most number of goals from 80 minutes onwards in the whole division.
Well, Charlton have done that as well, to be fair.
Oh, I mean, I suppose everyone does it over time, don't they? But, that was a good performance, and I think that was the first time last season we'd beaten you at home as well, so. In a League One game, so hopefully he'll be able to repeat that. But he's under no illusions. I mean, I spoke to him today. You know, he recognises that Charlton have got some very good players. You know, and obviously the prize is big for you as well, because a win for either of us could take us into the top six, couldn't it? It's not just about us.
So excellent to be joined there by Alan Swan from the Peterborough Telegraph, who was giving us a lowdown on the posh. I mean, just briefly, I mean, they're bringing a manager in Steve Evans who's got history of getting promoted out of this league via the playoffs with Rotherham, and he sounded very confident there that if he did get to the playoffs that he'd make that. I mean, I'm surprised by that decision to bring him in. I mean, he's a controversial figure because of his unbridled rage.
Yeah, but I think every place he's gone to, Cole said it in his presser, but he's improved them. But I mean, in terms of the game, I think the onus is on them. I think they need to win a lot more than we do. Obviously, of course, I want us to win, but I think they're going to come at us, and I think we've got to try and manage the game as best we can. But yeah, it should be a good game. But I think they're going to come at us, like you said. They're going to be at home. They're going to want a fast start, just like teams do to us, sit behind the balls and try and slow the game down when we're at home. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, Tom, I mean, with our injuries, I mean, we're going to hear from Cole in a minute, but he doesn't really talk about the injuries in that clip. But, I mean, Josh McGuinness is a major doubt by the sounds of it. Both Fosu and Forster Caskey have been only a very light training this week. I mean, obviously, we know about Cashew and Jade Silva. It doesn't get any easier for us in terms of injuries, does it?
Nah, and I think those last two you mentioned are probably the hardest ones to fill. I mean, you'd imagine Aribo will come in alongside Forster Caskey to replace Cashy. But a left back, you know, we saw Saar do it well against Bradford. Is he the man? Jacko, with his legs, is he going to be able to do a full game? We saw Aribo go there at the end of the Shrewsbury game, looked not very comfortable there, let's say. So, or Lewis Page, who obviously played a little bit in the week and is coming back to fitness. So we've got options, but, you know, Jada Silva's been arguably one of our best players, so that's a big loss. Up front, again, we've got more options there, but Carl says he's seeing the right things from Zyro in training, but we haven't really seen it on the pitch. Similarly with Reeves, I know Clive did that interview with him, but again, we haven't really seen it on the pitch. But players like that, game like this, they're going to have to stand up and be counted because we need them at the moment.
Right, we'll preview it more ourselves after we hear from Carl Robertson, the Charlton Athletic manager, looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to London Road.
Carl, Peter appointed Steve Evans last week. Do you expect the new managerial bounce at London Road, and what will he bring to Peter?
We've got a long way. We've played against each other many, many times. He's a winner. He wants to win. It's a good club, Peterborough. It really is. Obviously, what's happened with Grant. Grant was a friend and someone who I think has built a very, very good team. I think Steve's already gone on record to say he's left some very talented players. So he will go in. He has a record of being successful. Every club he goes into goes upwards or improves their league position. And we know how hard it's going to be. You'll certainly have them well drilled, you'll certainly have them well disciplined, you'll certainly have them with the hunger and desire to fight for the football club. And we know how hard it's going to be, and we're under no illusions of that. But we've got to go within the right frame of mind. It's difficult for us, not knowing quite what system they're going to play, obviously. There's no trends that you can look for to plan for, and that's where you get the upturn in performance. More to the point that this and Steve are certainly giving something, but most clubs who change manager, one of the biggest components to sometimes look at is you just don't know what they're going to play in the first few games. And that makes it unpredictable a little bit. So, we know he's a good manager. We know they've got good players. We know it's going to be intense there. But it's a good club, Peterborough. It's a club that obviously over the years have bought and sold players very, very successfully. And the class at RT has been relatively successful as well. The promotions, okay, yeah, relegations, but it's always hard to sustain championship status, as we well know.
Charnham had an extended break owing to the weather conditions. Has that helped your injury problems?
I won't say it's helped the injury problems. I think what it certainly does is we would have gone into that game on Saturday with a few players missing, and certainly by the time this game comes back around, we'll have three or four players probably available for us to blow and play AFC Wimbledon in the next time. So, and it gives us a window opportunity, gives us 2 weeks out playing the game, which means extra Steffi will be 2 weeks nearer, Cashy will be 2 weeks nearer, JD Silver could even make the next time that this game comes around. So we just have to wait and see, but still you're still hoping and praying that the recovery process is correct. You're not 100% sure. Obviously Jay's gone back to Chelsea, Steffi's at Arsenal, and Cashy's gone off to Qatar where he got treatment for his Achilles, which worked really well. So we believe once a player finds something that works for him, he feels comfortable in that environment, and part and parcel sometimes of development of injuries is psychological. That can also be a healing remit. Some will say obviously the heat will certainly help it as well.
After the home defeat by Shrewsbury, you criticised your players for not sticking to a game plan and said that their egos would have to be dropped if you were to be successful. Have you exchanged words since then?
Yeah, when we talk about egos, it's not an arrogance or a lack of discipline. It's just sometimes that people think that they care so much that they think they can do everything on their own. And that's not always the case. You watch the best teams in the world, they sacrifice their own chance to score for somebody else in a better position. And we're not doing it through a selfish remit, we're doing it, I think, so the players care so much, they think they're trying to do the best. And they're young, and they're learning, and that's part and parcel of their learning process. And that's it, the players have been excellent over the last 2 weeks, I can't ask for no more.
So that's Carl Robinson previewing Saturday's trip up to London Road. I mean, he was asked later on in press day if we can afford to lose this game. For example, if we lost this game, would we be out of the playoff race?
I don't think so. I said just now, I think the onus is on Peterborough. I think I'd take a draw. I'd take a draw all day long because, yeah, we've still got to win the games in hand, but I think mentally, I think if Peterborough don't win this game, I think it's going to weigh heavier on their minds than ours. But I mean, listen, when Peterborough are a good side, and to be fair, they were very unlucky not to win at the game at home we had. But so yeah, under no illusions, it'd be a tough game. But if we did draw, I'm not going to be too devastated about it.
Yeah, and that Jack Marriott, as Alan Swan said, 25 goals already this season. You'd argue he's going for a slightly lean spell because he's only got one in his last four or five games. But I mean, 25 goals in a season is something that we don't really do at Charlton, and that's sometimes you just wonder if we had a player like that, that could be the difference for a team like us between being where we are and being quite comfortably within the playoffs.
I think if we had a player like that, we'd be probably first or second. It's that big a difference. But yeah, like you say, he's on a lean run. The difficulty is, it is a new manager coming in, and it is a manager who, despite what I and probably a lot of people think of him, does very, very well at this level, gets clubs promoted. So they're going to be pretty fired up for that, I think. But yeah, it's one of them tough games, isn't it, because they're just that place below. I'm a bit like Nafe, I'd take a point, but if we can get a win, because when we got ourselves back into the top six not that long ago, we were there for 1 week and then we dropped back out again, and it would just be nice to be there for at least a few weeks. Win would be obviously.
And how important is it that we react to last time out against Shrewsbury? Obviously, we've had that 2 week break now. Ideally, we wanted to play last week so we could get that game against Shrewsbury here at the Valley, where we were, you know, disappointing, sort of out of our minds. So it's important now that we've had 2 weeks to dwell on it that we do, you know, react and give the fans something to hope for. Because 2 weeks ago on the show, on the Thursday night show, people had given up a lot of hope, but we are still well within this playoff race.
Yeah, we're in it. But Shrewsbury game, we just wasn't good enough. It's simple. We were rubbish, and we got outplayed by a team who were doing very well. So, yeah, we are looking for a reaction. But I think, like I said, I think it's mainly going to come to our game management, how we play the game, because they're going to start fast. They will, and it's it's down to us, because I know we haven't really dealt with pressure very well. If you look at the sort of like, you know, the Oxford game and stuff like that, so we've got to keep our wits about us. And like Tom said, it'd be interesting to see who comes in at left back.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out. Right, we haven't done a cashew back yet, so I'm going to put you on the spot, Nathan. You need to think of a couple, and then we'll put it out to vote.
Well, I think it's a draw, so I was going to see what it would be for a one-all draw. And then I might do something... I'm not really sure. I might do something about maybe like both teams to score or something, and with a couple of other bets.
Probably will be both teams to score if it's a 1-0 draw. So
or 0-0. Yeah. I was going to do 0-0, but then if someone scores in the first 30 seconds, then it's gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'll definitely happen if we put the bet on.
And Jack Marriott score.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially if we described him as having a lean spell. Right, let's have your actual predictions for the game, Tom.
I think we might win it 2-1.
2-1, yeah. Who do you fancy scoring?
I was going to say, I don't really know. I reckon Jake will get one.
Yeah, if he's fit. Yeah, we hope he will be.
Maybe Jason Pearce if he's fit.
Pearcey, yeah. Nath?
I'll go 1-0 with Jose, draw.
Both teams to score?
I think Jose come off the bench to score.
Excellent.
That was for everyone he's faced, his biggest fan.
Hashtag Oliver K. He'll enjoy that very much. Right, so that is our predictions for this Saturday's game up at London Road. Hopefully a chance for Charlton to get back on that winning trail. Right, I hope you have enjoyed tonight's big match preview. Don't forget, we'll be back here on Maritime Radio on Sunday evening to look back at Saturday's game. And then next Monday evening, we'll be on Love Sport Radio, lovesportradio.com. Tom and Nath will be there chatting with Aaron Paul about all things Addicts, and you'll be able to phone into that show as well. So check out our social medias and we'll give you the details to phone in for that. Right, this has pretty much run out of time. Tom, thanks for coming in this evening.
Cheers, Louis. Thank you.
Nathan?
Cheers, boys.
Hope you've enjoyed this evening's show. I've been Louis Mendes. Let's hope that the Addicts get back on that winning trail up at London Road on Saturday, and it's 3 points for them boys in red. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.